This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville in Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield, and by DC Waste and Recycling.
58-55. Toss. Missed it. Rebound to Eaker. Three-quarters court. Good if it goes, oh my gosh, off the front rim. And North Mac has won their first conference game.
If that would have gone in, T.J. Wilson might have lost his mind. North Mac got their first conference win last night. Great ball game at Auburn, 58-55. Welcome to Sports Saturday along T-Toad. I'm Tim Mize with David Jenkins here on the first Saturday in February, and that was a great ball game last night.
Over the years, Tim, more often than not, when you get North Mac and Auburn together, it's a pretty good ball game. So, and a packed house and great rivalry. Now both that they're in the Sangamo Conference, so.
That was all true last night. Fantastic crowd, just a wonderful ball game. And Benji Eaker for Auburn, he's a lot of fun to watch. This young man, every time I see the scores this year, 27, 28, had 27 last night, 6'4", has all the type of moves you want, just a really fun ball player to watch.
Yeah, just one of those guys that was, the game kind of moves at his pace.
He made a couple of moves last night. I haven't seen a player this year in the last several years utilize the pivot better than Benji Eaker was utilizing it last night.
He lost guard there.
Oh, it really is. He was at the top of the key, made a hard drive to the left at full speed, stopped on a dime, pivoted around, and knocked down a 15-footer.
Wow.
It was just a beautiful play.
Yeah.
You just don't see it much anymore.
But a big win for North Mac in their first conference win. So.
And that tells you how good the Sangamo Conference is. And the Sangamo Conference, with all due respect to the South Central, has become the premier small school conference around here. When you factor in football and basketball, both boys and girls, I mean, they are loaded top to bottom. I mean, we've seen North Mac. They are a tough, hard-nosed team. They were 0-6 in that conference before last night.
Well, they're not 0-for anymore.
No,
so.
They're not.
And, starting with the Macoupin County Tournament and now heading down the stretch towards postseason play, TJ's got him playing pretty well. So.
We'll have boys' regional pairings coming out in a couple of weeks.
We'll have them a week from today.
A week from today, there you go.
I believe so, yeah. A week from today for 1A and 2A schools, yeah.
We're going to have Dave Kane coming up for you about 9:30 this morning. Dave is off to cover some wrestling regionals today. We will have coverage of that or talk of that coming up later on the show. Of course, girls' regional basketball starts on Monday. A lot going on. Spring training for the Cardinals right around the corner, so that means baseball is getting close.
Baseball is getting close, and speaking of baseball, how about the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum? They have their chili warm-up today beginning at 11 at the museum, so you can stop by and have some chili with your baseball friends at BRS.
There you go. Last Saturday wouldn't have been a great day for chili. This Saturday, though.
This Saturday is a good day for chili. Yeah.
Last Sunday, 6 days ago, was outside in short sleeves playing baseball.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And then the next day...
Bitter cold.
Yeah.
My goodness.
This has been... And yet we haven't had the big, bad snowstorm like a lot of the East Coast has had and the Northwest. And I guess we're probably looking at a couple inches of snow here in a couple of days. So
I just knocked on wood. We'll see if that
happens. Yeah, we'll see that.
Well, girls' regionals are next week, so you know some sort of massive weather event.
There's always certain weeks of the year. The county tournament, Litchfield tournament week, generally has, some sort of weather issue, and always when girls' regional start, there's always some sort of weather issue.
Well, tournament week this year, it was cold. One of the coldest weeks of the year.
Yeah, we're talking sub-zero temperatures overnight, so it was, very, very cold. And by the way, we were talking about wrestling, and we have some wrestling teams that are involved today at Belleville Althoff, our local teams, Carlinville, Hillsboro, Litchfield, all competing. Mont Olive, by the way, is a 2A school this year, so they're in the AA competition at Muskoda as they are co-oping with Staunton.
Get to deal with East St. Louis, CM, Cahokia, Highland, Muskoda, Jersey, Triad.
But, these are some of the teams that they see at, like, the invitational tournaments, and So
well, that's exactly right. And yeah. You think about Mount Olive Wrestling over the years, mm-hmm. legit.
Oh, yeah. Legit. Ron Ryan's done a heck of a job and been there for a long time.
And they got some good kids in the squad this year. So.
Yes, they do.
They'll hold their own there.
Yeah. So good luck to our high school wrestlers this weekend.
That's right. Auburn's in the Shelbyville Regional.
Oh, okay.
In one. And they've had another very good year on the wrestling mats.
Yeah.
Girls Basketball Regional was talked about coming up on Monday. We will have coverage of the Alton Marquette Regional, the Litchfield Regional, and the 1A Nokomis Regional. Monday night we'll have regional quarterfinal action from Alton Marquette.
Yep, Alton Marquette. And Alton Marquette, that's going to be a tough place to win and beat Marquette on their home floor. That's what the Lady Hilltoppers are hoping to do if they get past their first round, their semifinal round game, and end up meeting Alton Marquette. But nothing's for sure in postseason. I mean, what have you done for me tonight? You know, that sort of thing. So.
Well, this is the time of year where Hillsboro will rely on the tough schedule that they played and bank on that having them prepared for that test at the Alton Marquette Regional.
And, you know, it's teams that can step up and play great defense that generally win these big ball games. And, that's why the further along you go in the tournament, the lower the scores tend to get. So
defense and free throws.
Oh, yeah.
Last night in Auburn, neither team could make a foul shot. They were raining threes all night long. I think North Mac made 9, Auburn made like 7, but neither one could make a foul shot.
Yeah.
I mean, North Mac clanked free throw after free throw last night and let Auburn hang around and almost bit them.
Isn't it funny how kids can stand out there and hit those 3-point shots and
with a hand on their face.
Yeah. And clank the free throws. So I don't know. You're wide open. I guess you're too open from 15 feet away.
Well, there's too much time to think. It's like when you're playing golf and you stand over a 3-foot ball. Well, the longer you think about it, the harder it gets.
Yeah. That could be a valid point there. Yeah.
Clear your mind, and that's why some people don't even dribble.
Yeah, just give them the ball and
give
shoot.
Give them the ball, get in rhythm, and let it go.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't see more kids with kind of a little jump shot from the free throw line. Every once in a while you'll see that.
That just don't look cool, though.
Yeah. Shooting underhand, doesn't look cool, but it's proven to be the most efficient way of shooting free throws.
Yeah, but you got to look cool, though.
Yeah, well.
It's like Shaq. That dude should have been shooting underhand free throws. But there's no way. His brand would have hurt.
It's tough when you have to shoot down at the basket,
Absolutely. Yeah. Just go out, lower your rim down to about 8 foot, get a volleyball.
Yeah.
And see how you shoot.
Yeah. Literally, Shaq was throwing laser beams at the basket.
Big dude.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And
I mean, that ball in his hand. I mean,
hence the hack-a-shack method of, you know, frustrating him and putting him at the free throw line and getting back into a ball game. So.
Now, speaking of hack-a-shack, this has really nothing to do with anything other than just the laziness of people who come up with things. Like hack-a-shack.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Watergate. That worked out nice because it was the Watergate Hotel. But now every scandal has gate on the end.
Yeah.
And every time somebody can't shoot, it's hack-a-somebody.
Yeah.
So lame. Can we get original, please? Like Hack a DeAndre. That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. Slame.
Slame.
Yeah.
Like Spygate. You know, like, ugh.
He got fouled.
Got fouled.
Go to get a couple of throws.
He got fouled on purpose because he can't make foul shots.
That's right. There's a reason we foul you.
I don't know if he came up with it or not, but I know Steve Carell was quoted as saying, if Watergate happened today, it would be known as the Watergate Gate.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's all got a gate on the end.
Well, it's just part of the lexicon, so.
Unfortunately.
Yes, yes.
If
I ever write my book, there'll be a chapter, Stupid Things Radio Announcers Say, and I may include other people, too, other than radio announcers, but. The gate thing could definitely be part of that. So, yeah.
Of course, yesterday was Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard someone talking about how the movie Groundhog Day has totally taken over actual Groundhog Day.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, the term Groundhog Day now,
means
just living the same thing
over and over again.
It wasn't like that before the movie.
You know what? I watched about 20 minutes of Groundhog Day, the movie, and I thought, this is the most boring movie I've ever seen in my life.
I've always thought the same thing, but people love that movie. Well, I just don't get it. It's above me,
I
guess.
I don't even want to think about watching it.
I love Bill Murray.
Oh, Bill Murray's hilarious, but Bill Murray was not funny in that movie.
I'm with you.
Never did finish it. Got about 20 minutes into it,
I think. And who is actually relying on a groundhog to tell them that there's going to be more or less winter.
Well, you know.
Who's doing that?
I don't know. What are they drinking? I think that's what you have to ask.
Brandy.
When it's cold, I guess. That's right. You know, you need something to heat your... You have to stay well hydrated.
Hydration is key.
Yes, yes. We pull a rat, basically, some sort of a modified rat out of a hole and take a look at his shadow. So.
Leave me alone. I'm sleeping down here.
They got him behind
you. You know, if aliens from another world ever came down on Groundhog Day and observed Punxsutawney Phil being pulled out of his hole, they're going... Let's just leave these people alone, okay?
Oh.
We don't want to deal with these people. Let's just go to another planet.
They got him behind glass. I've been there, Punxsutawney.
You've been there?
I've been there.
Really?
Absolutely.
Dave, I don't think I'd admit that if I were you. Well,
how long ago was this? You went willingly?
Yeah, we were on a mission trip. Not in Punxsutawney, but we were in the...
Oh, so you didn't go for that?
No.
Okay.
No, well, that's not so bad.
Okay, we were doing community service in Du Bois, Pennsylvania, and it's like a hop, skip, and a jump from
Punxsutawney. Okay, that's good then. And that was kind of neat then.
Yeah. They got a bunch of like groundhog statues like throughout the town. Like kind of like a scavenger hunt where you go and find the different.
And they make fun of me for watching Star Trek.
Do you think anybody has ever moved into that town, or if it's all just people who have lived there their whole life?
Yes, we want to go where Punxsutawney Phil is.
Why would you want to live there?
What's the name of the town?
Punxsutawney.
Is it Punxsutawney?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Punxsutawney.
Okay. I never even realized it.
And those animals are like, they control the place.
Do they drug the animals before they pull them out of their hole? Because I would think that you pull a wild animal out of his hole, he's going to be pretty mad.
I doubt that Phil's probably been domesticated.
These animals can't live that long, so how many Phils have they gone through?
They're training the other one.
Okay.
They've got a
minor league system, right? You've got a triple A.
That's right.
Yes, we got triple A Phil.
Waiting for the call.
Yeah.
Well, they have two at a time. I know at least two at a time, because there were two when I was there, two behind glass, and shoot, those animals are everywhere. In that area.
Well, that's a job for the probie. Probie!
Yeah,
stick your hand down that hole.
That's right.
Pull out the groundhog. Huh? What?
Can I put a glove on? No, just stick your hand in there.
This was about 8 or 9 years ago that I was there, and about as of like 8 or 9 years ago, I mean, they weren't an extinct being. They're an endangered animal. They're out and about. Not hard to find.
Singing Sweet Caroline at Boston in the seventh inning, that makes sense. There's all sorts of different traditions that make sense. The Groundhog Day thing, I've never understood. I just thought, this is just, you know, darn weird.
But
humans must be so bored in the middle of wintertime that they go chasing rodents.
Do you think his percentage of being right is any less than actual meteorologists who are trained with this?
It's like 39%.
Well, he said...
Is it?
Is like 39% compared to
90%. Six more weeks of winter. Well, if you look at the calendar, winter ends in 6 more weeks.
Did you just tell me meteorologists are right 90% of the time?
I think that's what I read
yesterday. That can't be right.
Well, hey, it's all about percentages. So they CYA, okay? It's a CYA situation
right.
here. So, you know, a 10% chance of rain basically almost every day of the year, minimal. And that's a CYA.
I could say there's a 99% chance it's going to be sunny and no rain, and it still may rain. And I'm okay because I left 1% chance of rain.
One of the St. Louis TV stations used to give away umbrellas if their meteorologist picked the temperature within 5 degrees. I can pick the temperature within 5 degrees. That's not impressive. Anybody can do that. 5 degrees?
It's like Kramer on Seinfeld guessing the time by the sun.
Right.
I can get it within the hour. I can get it within the hour, and I don't even have to look at the
sun. Close enough. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Carthenville head coach Darren Deneve following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Women's college basketball yesterday, Drake beat SIU 84-73. So the Salukis dropped to 7-3 in the Valley. Drake still atop the league with a perfect 10-0 record. Abby Brockmeyer, 10 points and 6 rebounds for the Salukis. They will be at Northern Iowa tomorrow, 2 o'clock, and you can check it out on ESPN.
She continues to impress.
We're having a great freshman year.
Great freshman year for the Salukis.
Top rebounder, top shot blocker.
Number
on the
2
team.
In scoring, right?
And top 5 in scoring.
Top 5 in scoring,
I think 4th maybe, but still.
Okay.
She's averaging double digits on the year in her freshman year.
So.
And they have the freshman class, Mackenzie Sylvia, of course, from Edwardsville, a freshman, and another freshman as well. Her name eludes me at the moment, but it was a pretty highly touted recruiting class for Carbondale coming into the year, and boy, they are delivering this year, and
they played together on AAU, so they're very familiar with each other, which goes a long way. So
makes a big difference.
Big difference. Big, big difference. Having some fun.
Girls regionals start on Monday. The Carletonville Lady Cavaliers, they have a bye into the semifinals, and joining us right now is their head coach, Darren Deneve. Good morning, Darren. Maybe. Darren, hello. What we're experiencing here, you know who I blame? Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah.
We have a Groundhog Day incident. We'll let David get that ironed out on the other end here. Just a slight delay here. Eventually, Darren Deneve will join us on WSMI Sports Saturday. They played last night, wrapped up their regular season as they beat Wood River 47-37 as they finished the regular year at 18-9. They have the 4 seed in that subsectional, so they are in the bottom half of the bracket at the Litchfield Regional. And if they were to get to the championship game, a potential date with top-seeded Auburn. But Carletonville, coming into the year, I don't know what the expectations necessarily were, but they ended up having a dynamite regular year. And Darren, are you with us?
We are. That's much better for me. I hope you can hear me just fine.
I got you loud and clear. How are you doing this morning?
Awesome. We're doing fine. We're having a little practice. The girls are shooting free throws right now, and so I got a few minutes.
Excellent. You wrapped up your regular year last night. Talk about the season as a whole, Darren. Very good year for you.
I think it's safe to say that we exceeded my expectations. We're 18-9 and looking forward to the regional, and obviously won the holiday tournament, which is a big deal for us. It's been really enjoyable. Every single game so far this year, I've played at least 10 girls and is up to 13 in various spots. And we've 11 different girls, maybe 12, have started a game. So that's really sort of an unusual situation. We got a good bunch of girls, and when they're called on to play, they head on in there and do the best they can. And when they're not on the court, they support their teammates. And so it's really been an enjoyable season for an old basketball coach.
Darren, what's the one aspect of the team that has impressed you the most?
Defensively, we are better than I anticipated. I thought that would be our strength, but I think we're honestly even better than I thought we were going to be. We work well together. We're in the right places at the right time. We've got a couple of girls who are really excelling in various areas. Sydney Bates has turned into a shutdown man-to-man defender, and Rachel Olroyd's defense has really improved, and she's long. She's able to block a lot of shots. I think she has more than 50 block shots. You know, she's our point guard, and so you just don't see that a whole lot. And we're rebounding pretty well. The defense has just been better than I ever anticipated.
And Darren, Sydney Bates, at least seems to me, she's one of the players that actually enjoys defense more than offense.
Oh, there's no question about it. She likes to guard. She relishes the opportunity to play against the other team's best player and do what she can to frustrate her and hopefully shut her down. She had an older sister, Savannah, that was a lot like that too. Just an extremely, extremely tough kid, from that Bates family. They've been a pleasure to coach.
Darren, you mentioned you're working on foul shooting this morning, and of course, going into regional play, that will be very important.
Yes, Thursday night we shot them about as well as we have ever all season. I think we were 21-29. It hasn't necessarily been a strength for us. But we shot them well on Thursday night at Vandalia in a close win. And then last night, we played a makeup game with Wood River, and it got pretty close actually, but we hit 4 free throws in the last 2 minutes to seal the deal and end up winning by 10. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come from the foul line.
And Darren, your team is interesting from the standpoint, your defense has been there basically every night, every game you played this year. But on nights when you guys make shots, you can play and beat anybody.
I think you're right. Rachel Olroyd has made several threes. She's made 40-something threes. Sydney Caney is in the high 30s. Natalie Kaganich is somewhere around 20, and so we're probably a better three-point shooting team than I've had maybe ever. We've always kind of had some strength more inside on offense than we have outside, and this year a lot of our scoring has come from outside. And so when we are hitting shots, yeah, we're okay because we'll guard you no matter what the night is. And so if we happen to shoot decent, we definitely put ourselves in a chance to win.
And having seen you played once before, you seem like you guys cover the passing lane so well.
We're pretty long. We got Rachel's got some long arms. I got a sophomore, Corin Stewart, who's got some long arms. Lexi Eaglehoff's got some long arms. Emma Griffith is quicker than she looks. Our center, Sydney Bates, has really got some good anticipation skills. Taylor Wills is another terrific defender. So we're really defending pretty well, and we can put different lineups out there and see what happens depending on our opponent and what's working that night.
Darren, as you look at the Litchfield Regional, you're the four seed in the subsectional, but the second highest seed, I guess, in that regional. Just your overall thoughts on the regional at Litchfield as a whole.
Well, it's we're likely, I would say, likely to play Gillespie in our first game, and they've beat us. So it's been kind of a rare season. We've only played Gillespie once. And it was early in the season, and so we're sufficiently nervous about Gillespie for sure. Our matchups with them are tough for us. Paige Niemeyer is a terrific player, and so hopefully we're fortunate enough to do well on Wednesday, but we also are aware that we could be one and done if we don't play well.
And that's the beauty of this time of year, Darren. I mean, you have to approach it just that way.
Absolutely. We really haven't talked about anything beyond our first game. I suppose just between you and me and the rest of the 50,000 customers of WSMI, Auburn is obviously the favorite of this regional. We did play them, and we played them pretty tough. We had a lead in the second half. I can't remember what exactly the final was. We lost by about 4 or 6 points or something like that. The Clark girl they have is a terrific athlete. And they have another very good player named Hannah Smith, a guard, and she is a tough matchup as well. They've had a terrific season, and so as mentioned, we're not really thinking too much ahead for that situation. Hopefully, we can get by Wednesday night. But we've played the teams in that regional pretty tough, and hopefully we'll just sort of catch some magic this week and see what happens.
Throw the ball up and let's go.
Yeah. Practicing this morning, but I don't know that we're putting anything new in or anything like that. We're just gonna hope to do the fundamentals well and shoot well and all that good stuff. Get some rebounds when we need to and try to limit the turnovers and make the shots.
All right, Darren. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time and get back to the foul shooting, buddy.
I appreciate you having me on, guys.
All right, Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers. That'll be a very interesting regional at Litchfield. And yeah, Gillespie. Sitting there as a potential opponent in the semi, that has all the makings of a postseason classic.
That, as Darren says, it's kind of scary when you think about it. So, should be a good regional tournament. Auburn deserves the top seed.
They've earned it.
But that regional is far from being a sure thing for the Trojans. So,
if Carlinville shoots, well. Yeah. They will be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds, well, yeah, of course if they shoot well, they're going to be just fine. But they're not going to lose a game where they score 60 points.
No.
They're just not.
It's one of the situations, keep it in the 30s, and Carlinville's probably going to win.
Yeah. I mean,
their defense, 30s and low 40s.
It's there every night.
Yeah, it really
they
is.
Will just stifle you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different kind of basketball, but it's a fun kind of basketball.
Yeah. I mean, when they shoot, they can beat anybody, but if they don't shoot, they can get beat by anybody.
Yeah. But they're always playing defense.
Yes, they are.
They're going to make it tough.
And that's been the case for Carlinville ever since Darren showed up.
And you know, Tim, we talk about competition in the postseason. You want to give yourself a chance. You got to keep the game close and give yourself a chance down the end. So that's what Carlinville has been able to do this year.
It's always funny, Darren was talking about when he was at McMurray before coming over, they were a high-flying offensive team for men's college basketball, like one of the highest-scoring teams in the nation. Then he comes to Carlinville, takes over the girls program, and he turns it into a defensive juggernaut.
Yeah. Whatever, you know, you got to fit your talent. You got to go with what kind of talent you have. So
the man can coach.
He can. He can. And by the way, that Litchfield Regional, there's two games on Tuesday night, two games on Wednesday night. The championship at Litchfield is set for Friday night, which is kind of unusual. Most of the girls' regional finals are on Thursday. The final at Litchfield will be Friday night on the 9th of February. So.
Okay. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Nokomis girls' head coach, Brandon Engelman. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Well, postseason is upon us again, and you guys are hosting a regional. Just kind of give us your overall thoughts there as you get set for next week.
Well, what we've been talking about all year. We always point towards this. This is the best time of the year and reason why you play there. But we're thrilled to be hosting it. First of all, we're happy to travel the last couple of years a long way over there. We're glad everybody's got to come to our place this time.
Exactly right.
We've got a good team coming over from Tri-County, the Kansas team. They got a long way to go, but what I can hear about them, what I've seen from them, they're pretty good.
Those two-hour bus rides tend to weaken the legs a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, don't worry. That's be all right with that.
Well, playing on your home floor certainly is a big help as well. So, in this regional here, certainly Hume Shiloh, the co-op there, gets the number one seed in that regional, and Nokomis, even though they're seeded number four overall, is the second highest seed in the regional. So you would await the winner of the Springfield Lutheran Springfield Calvary game, which is set for Monday night, and that means you'll be in action on Wednesday night. So that'll give you a day of preparation.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to take a look at them on Monday night. They got to come play a little bit and see what they got going on, and we got a day to prepare for them, and hopefully be ready to go Wednesday.
Do you know anything about Calvary or Lutheran, Brandon?
I know very little about them. I've seen some of the teams that play, some common opponents. I know they play in the Sangamo Conference there, but I don't know a whole lot about Lutheran. They didn't have a lot of common opponents there that I get some information on. I'm looking forward to seeing them on Monday to see what they got.
Brandon, you guys have kind of had a roller coaster type of season, but it seems like you're rounding in to good form here at the right time of the year.
Yeah, we've been pretty thrilled with the way we've played the last 2 weeks. Starting over there against Jerseyville, we played a good game over in Jerseyville at Carrollton. Played good, and then we came back here and played Bunker Hill in the middle of that week of Carrollton and played well against them. And then our games against Riverton was a solid game, and then the other night against Hillsborough was another solid game. So we're pretty happy with the way we're playing right now, and hopefully it can continue on next week.
And, of course, you've got a lot of seniors on this team who have played a lot of basketball for you over the years, and that can always be an interesting dynamic when they start to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it is, and we've not really talked about it. They were not looking forward to senior night too much, but I tried to convince them that it's a lot better, that we've got more games on our home floor, so that night didn't turn into be too emotional because of that reason, I believe.
Yeah.
But so we don't talk too much about the end just because I know they're not looking forward to that at all, so we just want to keep playing as long as we can to let them keep enjoying it and having some fun.
So the first game for Nokomis will be a 7:30 game on Wednesday, and should the Skins win that night, then they're right back there the next night for the championship. So back-to-back nights, that'll be a bit of a challenge.
It will be. Get ready to go. We've done that a couple times this year, played some back-to-back games. Then we played in the Carlinville Tournament where we played four games in a row, and we handled that pretty well. Good last game, Carlinville Tournament didn't turn out so well, but I'm not sure it was a leg issue or tired problem. I'm happy playing back-to-back nights so we get to go home. Said this. Kansas has got a two-hour bus ride to go home, and then they got to come back again. So that's given they get by their first game, too. They'll have to play Kincaid or Cerro Gordo, but if they would pull that off, then they have to come back a long way to come across here again.
Yeah. Now, obviously, when you get into postseason play, you don't really want to change what you do. You don't want to do anything much differently than you did it throughout the regular year. But what are a couple of things that Nokomis has to do well next week to keep going?
Well, we've got to continue to score the basketball. This year, if you'd asked me any of the year, my biggest problem, I would have said would have been trying to stop people defensively. But that's not turned up to the case. We've had the defensive intensity almost every game and done a good job on defense. And we've had trouble certain nights scoring the basketball. So we're going to have to make sure we continue to execute offensively, not turn the ball over, and knock down some shots.
Always comes down to making shots, doesn't it?
Yep. Yep. I told my assistant a few weeks ago, I'm a whole lot better coach when we make shots.
And a whole lot smarter, too.
Right. Yep.
Brandon Engelman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Best of luck next week.
Thank you guys very much.
All right.
And we'll have Nokomis games on the radio, too. So, yeah. That's great. That's great.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Dave Kane's on the other side.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. Fighting Illini in action tomorrow. They are on the road at Ohio State, I think 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock pregame, yeah.
Going for three in a row.
Yeah, good. Brad Underwood kept saying, hey, we're getting better, we're getting better.
So, I mean, it's been well documented. They were close in a lot of those games and blew them.
Well, and that's funny, Tim, because now I hear a couple of people say, well, you know, they'll have a shot in the tournament. I'm going, well, they...
What tournament?
You know, they may have a shot at the Big Ten tournament of winning a game, maybe two. But, you know, let's be honest here. The Illini are really a couple years away from being a ranked team. So
now, with that said, it's not just crazy in college basketball for a team to go on a run in the conference tournament. And it's not like the last couple years where they were getting blown out and embarrassed consistently in the Big Ten. They've been competitive in a lot of these games. So, I mean, I guess you could make the case that it's possible, but put it this way. If you're betting your money, are you putting it on the Illini to win the Big Ten tournament?
No. Definitely not. And, you know, the Illini have great guards. They've got some good people coming in. Still need a big post guy. And you find that, man, that solves a lot of problems.
Exactly right. We have found Dave Kane of the State Journal Register, and Dave's good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, we're doing well here, and you're off to a wrestling regional today, I understand?
Yes, I'm in the early stages of my trip, actually. Luckily, they don't really get down to the nitty-gritty till early this afternoon, but I'm on my way to Camp Point for a 1A. It's 1A wrestling regional. It seemed like there aren't any regionals very close, very close to Springfield this year, so... We've got Porta and Beardstown and a couple of our other area teams that are over at Camp Point over in the Quincy area. So that's where I'm headed.
So you got a big caravan following you over there, Dave?
Oh, I think I'm it. I think it's a one-car caravan, I believe. I think.
Yeah.
Dave, talk a little. I am pretty idiotic when it comes to wrestling. So when you get into the postseason, talk about individuals advancing versus the teams.
Well, yeah, the regional is sort of a dual purpose level. You know, for the individual stuff at regionals, wrestling regionals, regardless of class, the top three finishers in each weight division move on to the sectionals. So if you're a top three finisher today, you're going to go to the sectionals next weekend. They also, at regionals, they keep team scores. The team champion at all the regionals today will go to, I guess, what is called dual team sectionals. Those don't take place till a few days after the individual state tournament takes place in Champaign. I want to say it's like February 20th or something like that. So there is, for today, there's something at stake for both teams and individuals. Next weekend, for sectionals, it's strictly kind of an individual thing next weekend. Got that?
I think so. It made sense the way you explained it.
We don't want to have a pop quiz, though. So
I was never good. I'm not a good test taker.
Yeah. Right.
We got girls regionals coming up on Monday, of course. The Auburn Trojans have had a great season. They got the top seed in that subsectional, but really from the start of the year, they've been rolling.
Yeah. Dave Ferris, you know, is the coach. Has been the coach for a number of years, and they've really been on a nice run for several years now. This year, and I know they've won 20 plus games, I believe. I don't know their exact record, but they have. Well, this year, the key girls are, you know, a couple of senior cat. They call her Cat Clark. You know, the big senior center. She's very good, and also Hannah Smith, a guard who's a good shooter. Those are kind of the two main players that make Auburn go. And it's although, you know, it's funny, they have not actually won a regional girls for Auburn since about 1996. They've had, like I said, several very good teams. I think last year they ran into Hillsboro, I remember right, at the regional final level. So they've been right there, you know, at several regionals lately. But the regional championship has been kind of elusive. So they're hoping to get over the hump this time. But as you guys were talking earlier, that Litchfield regional is not going to be easy.
No, it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out type of situation there.
Dave, we talked
earlier about the Sangamo Conference. This league is fantastic. I mean, pick the sport, boys or girls, it does not matter. Top to bottom, this league is so deep.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I guess we're talking specifically girls basketball. Yeah. I mean, you know, postseason. You know, Pleasant Plains girls this year were, you know, they won the Sangamo. They went unbeaten in the Sangamo, which is no small task. They also won the Sangamon County Tournament. But they've had an exceptional year. I think they've only lost three games all year. They only start one senior. So they're going to be good for a couple years. Williamsville has had a very good year. Williamsville and Plains are in the same regional, so that'll be interesting. Plains beat Williamsville early in the season. So, you know, you've got those two, you know, right off the bat. Riverton is, you know, rebuilding a little bit, but they are, you know, they're pretty solid. Athens is having a little bit of a rebuilding year. They were very strong the last couple of years. Illini Central from Mason City, you know, they're not quite as close to Springfield as some of the other schools. They are Class 1A. Most of the Sangamos are 2A, but they are Class 1A. They only have seven players, but kind of sounds like Mount Olive the last couple of years. They only have seven players, but they haven't won 20 games, but they're like, you know, 17-12 or something like that, but they play mostly a 2A schedule. So Mason City could be heard from in the, you know, in the 1A girls postseason. And Auburn obviously in the Sangamo. So yeah, for girls basketball and obviously boys basketball, you know, and they're also coming off a great football year for the Sangamo. So yeah, it's a conference that's been on quite a run here the last couple of years.
You know, Dave, one team out of the Sangamo for basketball, boys or girls, that year in and year out, it seems like Williamsville is always a team that you got to contend with.
Right, absolutely. Obviously, you know, their boys are having a really good year. They are still unbeaten in the Sangamo. They won a close game against New Berlin the other night. But yeah, Williamsville is on a, they're just, you know, it's kind of a growing school district, you know, just north of Springfield. I don't think they're ever going to get maybe as big as, say, a Rochester or a Chatham or anything, but they have grown. I mean, they are still like, well, depending on the sport, they're either, you know, 1A or 2A or whatever, but and it's a lot of the same athletes, you know, on the boys' side, you know, football, basketball, baseball, Williamsville is very strong. On the girls' side, obviously they're having a very good girls' basketball season. They are outstanding in softball. They've had such a tradition over the years. Volleyball this past year was a little bit of a rebuilding year, but they just have a lot of athletes out at Williamsville, and there's no sign of that slowing down for the Bullets.
Dave Kane of the State Journal Register joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Dave, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we'll let you get off on your way to Camp Point, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll be there in a while.
Drive very carefully, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, thanks, guys.
Okay,
all
thanks,
right, Dave Kane of the State Journal Register. Always a great read.
Oh, Dave does just a wonderful, wonderful job. And he's a guy that understands small school sports and what it means to our communities, and you know, that's, it comes through,
and a good Twitter follow too.
He's our small school guru.
He's a good guy, and the State Journal Register is lucky to have him.
Absolutely,
they've got a pretty good staff there. So, and he's off to Camp Point, so
he'll have a really nice article written about that, no doubt about it.
And if he's not back in 2 weeks, we'll send out a posse.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
All right. Like a long time.
Well, you know,
lost over that part of the
state. Okay, maybe 2 days.
That sounds a little better. If he's not back for dinner,
we're, somebody's in trouble. That's right.
We need a break on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. And you know, we always talk about some great weeks during the high school sports calendar. The middle of January when you have the in-season tournaments, that's always great. The start of the season.
Christmas tournaments
is good. But starting on Monday is about the best four-week stretch that the high school sports calendar has to offer when regional basketball gets underway. The way that they're the staggering is just so perfect.
Yeah. The madness of March, beginning in February.
Yes.
With the postseason tournaments and you hear people talk about tournaments and we talk about in-season tournaments with round robin play, bracket play, and everything. You know, this is single elimination. This is survive in advance, and this is what makes the tournament so unique and so special. And I mean, we see it generated in the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments. You know, survive in advance, and that's what makes it a heck of a lot of fun.
It's not the best team; it's the team that plays the best.
It's the team that plays the best. That's the key to it, right there. And your record doesn't mean a thing. Everybody's 0-0 for every game when you walk into the gymnasium, no matter what level you're playing, whether it's in regional or sectional, and the records don't matter. The statistics don't matter. It's what are you going to do tonight?
And this certainly doesn't hold true all the time, but it seems to be the case more times than not where if you have a rematch from a regular season meeting, the team that lost the regular season matchup usually has the upper hand in the rematch.
And I don't know if it's a psychological thing or if it's a fact that you've discovered what didn't go well in the first meeting and you've corrected that. Probably a little bit of both.
I think your last point, though, is a really good one, Terry, because when you beat a team, it's hard to then change your strategy because your game plan worked.
Sure.
So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
But at the same time, the team that lost is not going to come in with the same game plan they had the first time.
They've got to do some tweaking. And a lot of times, it's a defensive thing that gets tweaked more than anything. You don't really want to change a whole lot going into the postseason, but a little bit of a tweak and maybe a change in a defensive assignment, maybe going from a man-to-man to a zone just to try to confuse the opposition once in a while. I think you're seeing more of that over the years.
And with the three-point shot, basketball has become such a game of runs.
Yes.
Who can limit the big run against them, especially early? I mean, you'll see teams, they'll come out and they'll just jump on you early, get up by 10, 15 points in the first quarter, and then you're done.
Yeah, and the deer in the headlights syndrome, and that, that kills the team right off the bat and demoralizes the team, demoralizes the fan base, and basically takes the wind right out of your sails. So it's the ability to survive the first 4 minutes of the first quarter. If you can survive that against especially a pressure team, you're in the ball game. You're in the ball game, and really, you just want to keep it close and give yourself a chance. That's all you can ask for in a postseason tournament game.
That's what the North Mac boys did last night. Yeah. They got down 7-0 in the first 90 seconds.
Yeah,
but then rebounded.
Yeah, you get down, 12, 13, 14 to nothing halfway through the first quarter. You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Because it just plays with your mind. And as Yogi Berra said, that's 99%, half of the problem, or half of the battle is 90% of the mind. Or something like
what
that.
Is like 90% of the game is
half mental
or something.
Some bizarre thing.
It's getting late early here. I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
Yeah, but, it does. It does play on your mind. And, it shakes your confidence and you're, rushing your shots. You're not getting a good look. And the thing that I've seen more often than not this year, it seems like, in the games I've seen, is that teams will battle back, and then they'll settle for a shot that's really not a good shot.
Yeah.
They'll come down and do, and instead of making the defense work, they'll very quickly take a shot that's, maybe not the best percentage shot, and you don't even work the defense. So sometimes, actually running the offense works.
Imagine that.
How about that?
So. Our regional tournament coverage will begin on Monday night with quarterfinal action at Alton Marquette.
Staunton takes on East Alton Wood River at 6, Southwestern against Roxana at 7:30. Those games on WSMI FM 106. And then on Tuesday night, we will switch to the Ox for coverage from Alton Marquette with Marquette. If Staunton wins, we'll take on the Bulldogs at 6. And at 7:30, Hillsboro will take on Southwestern or Roxana. Those games, a game or two games on the Ox, and we'll stream them online at WAOX.com and WSMIRadio.com. 2A regional tournament play from Litchfield on Tuesday night. Litchfield against North Mac at 6. Gillespie against Pawnee at 7:30. And then we'll top the evening off on FM 106 with the Litchfield-Lincolnwood boys basketball game. So we've got a triple header on FM 106 on Tuesday evening. And then Wednesday, it is back to Litchfield for the semifinals. Auburn taking on the winner of that Litchfield-North MAC game. Carlinville, the winner of the Gillespie-Pawnee game. And then Nokomis will take on the winner of the Springfield Lutheran or Springfield Calvary game. And that all starts at 6 o'clock.
So the potential of that Carlinville-Gillespie matchup, that
very
is very intriguing.
Very, very intriguing.
Like I said, we only played them once this year.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Well, you know, and that's weird because, you know, Litchfield-Hillsborough tended to play four or five times during the year, and Gillespie-Carlinville tended to play four or five times during the year, and this year was only once, and even Darren's surprised by it. So, but that could be a heck of a ball game again. So, but you know, you gotta win. You gotta survive.
You gotta get the, yeah, we can look ahead because it's kind of part of what we do. The coaches and teams obviously cannot, but the potential of a Marquette-Hillsborough regional final at Marquette. That is tough.
That is tough. And, you know, Marquette is very, very good. And Hilltoppers, if they play some great defense, you know, that'll keep them in the ballgame. But they have to get there first. So, you know, you don't want to put the cart in front of the pony. So.
It doesn't work too good that way.
No,
does
it doesn't.
Why aren't we moving?
Well.
Well, you got the cart in front of the horse, bud.
Yeah.
Oh.
They don't. Horses don't follow directions very well.
They
don't have
reverse.
That. Yeah. So, by the way, all the games will be streamed online, WSMIRadio.com or WAOX.com, and we'll have podcasts of them up next week as well. And you can check out our broadcast schedule at WSMIRadio.com. And as we get towards the middle of the week, the broadcast schedule will change, and we'll fill that in and keep you up to date on that. So,
but we'll have games one way or the other.
We're going to have games every night this
all
week.
All sorts of games.
Yeah, all sorts of games every night this week. So, and Friday night, it's going to be Hillsborough-Nokomis boys.
Ooh,
so
that'll be a goodie.
Plus the championship from Litchfield.
You see Drake Payton returned last night. That's good to see.
That's very good to see for the Hilltoppers. Yes, indeed. And a week from today, we should have boys regional tournament pairing. So we'll see see how the IHSA geography works for the boys regionals.
Nokomis' seed will be very interesting in that.
And they have their own regional.
Yes.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting seed as well. Yeah.
They're so much better than their record.
And they're absolutely huge.
And their record's not bad.
And their record's not bad at all. And they're playing at home. And can you imagine teams that get assigned to, you know, the pairings that who's going to be in the draw with Nokomis? They're going
to. You
don't
want to be in that draw.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to deal with them
scary.
On their home floor.
Scary.
Not at all.
Very, very scary. So, but we'll find out next week and see how it shakes out. So
it'll be baseball season before we know.
Oh my gosh!
What will happen?
Oh my gosh! It's pitchers and catchers.
Coming up, isn't
it? Coming up this week. And
first spring training game, 3 weeks away?
First spring training game is actually Friday the 23rd, but our first broadcast will be the 24th and 25th of February on AM 1540 and FM 1069. A great place for your business's message to be heard.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Yeah. All 162?
All 162 games. If you want to talk to somebody, talk to sales manager Mike. Give me a call. I can take a message for him. He can get back to you.
Cardinals have been a little silent in the free agent market since they got Ozuna and haven't really done much since.
A lot of baseball teams have been very silent in the free agent market this year.
Saw a story on the AP wire yesterday about some agents now starting to crow about potential collusion among the owners in terms because the market is so slow.
Yeah.
I mean, this has not been a hot stove at all.
I'm calling the bluff. You can't force owners to pay contracts that they don't want to pay.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's certainly
not
collusion.
And, you know, they won the collusion. Players won the collusion case several years ago. They're not going to win it this time.
No. This is something owners should have done a long time ago.
Yes.
Why are you committing so much money to players already over 30?
Yeah.
Well, and what might happen is they might get rid of, like, the qualifying offer or losing draft
that hasn't
compensation. Because they've taken away some of the consequences of that, but they might get rid of it completely because that's really what's hurting.
Yeah, I think that's a process there that has been taken advantage of by the Major League Baseball teams because they're making qualifying offers to guys that they don't want back and they know they won't get back, but yet we'll make the offer so we get the draft pick if and when they sign with someone.
Well, and then other teams won't sign them because they lose that draft pick.
Yeah.
So that's what slowed it up.
If you get rid of that, and things could change dramatically. So, but
I mean, I got a couple major concerns about the Cardinals. They don't have enough pitching. Starting or bullpen, they do not have enough pitching, and they're a bat short. At least one bat short. They need one more middle of the order bat, which they're not going to get.
Yeah.
They need one more starter, which they're probably not going to get. And they need an actual closer, which we know they're not going to get.
Yeah. Could be 16 different closers this year. You never know.
Closer by committee.
There you go. Never know. Hey, by the way, coming up this afternoon, I'm going to be broadcasting from Shoe Sensation in Litchfield from noon to 2, and we'll be broadcasting here on FM 106, so stop by if you get a chance.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much to Darren Deneve, Brandon Engelman, and Dave Kane for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday. You can find our entire broadcast schedule online for next week at WQSMIRadio.com. Tito, take us home.
That's going to do it. Have a great sporting weekend, and if the weather comes, be safe out there. WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. It's 10 o'clock and time now for the latest news from around the world.